You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A Christian publisher recently advertised a new product stating, "This book is exciting to read because it tells the dramatic story of the first Christian missionaries." Being missionaries for the Christian faith in the early church was certainly exciting, but it was also extremely demanding, and in some cases, even very, very dangerous. Listen to one dramatic account vividly described in the Bible, Acts chapter 14. St. Paul was preaching the gospel to the people in the ancient city of Lystra. After a while, some enemies of the gospel from the nearby cities of Antioch and Iconium arrived on the scene. They mixed with the crowd of local people who were listening to St. Paul preach. Through clever manipulation, these agents of hatred turned public opinion against St. Paul. They stirred up an angry mob, then took up stones to kill him. And when they thought that they had pounded him hard enough unto death, they dragged his body outside of the city. In tears, the disciples gathered around the bruised and bloody body. After a while, however, Paul stood up, and he walked back into the city. Indeed, it is amazing, isn't it, to see the utter abuse the early disciples experienced, but it is even more astounding to notice their response. We would expect them to be angry and full of vengeance, but this was not the case. These committed missionaries frequently faced the most violent persecution, and yet instead of fighting back, they thanked God that they were counted worthy to suffer for Him, and then they continued with an even greater zeal in their missionary work for the Master. These first century zealots were certainly unusual people. There is no way they could ever be likened unto products of today's slick PR gimmicks. Their positive actions were not sparked by a brief weekend training course in how to handle people and to overcome objections. These undaunted soldiers of the cross were totally different from the society around them. They were different not because they had taken a seminar on attitudinal change, but because their hearts had been totally transformed. For if any man is in Jesus Christ, the scripture attests, he is an entirely new creation. The old passes away, and behold, everything becomes new. Jesus Christ, the man who had been given an illegal trial, the innocent man murdered by an angry mob, and the one laid in a tomb because he was pronounced dead by civil authorities, but then raised to life after 3 days, and seen by over 500 people at one time after his victorious resurrection. This Jesus had so impacted and thoroughly changed the lives of these disciples that the gates of hell could not stop their forward march to preach the gospel of forgiveness and heavenly hope. Jesus Christ, the man from Galilee, the one who had been crucified on Calvary and raised again from the dead, this God-man of resurrection power, now by faith, lived within the hearts of these dedicated and persecuted missionaries. As a result, even the threat of death could not deter the Easter-initiated missionary movement. This new spiritual life gave the disciples the strength needed to continue their tasks, even under the most difficult conditions. This same Jesus, yes, this resurrected Jesus Christ, their new internal strength, also transformed the disciples in such a way that instead of fighting their enemies, they forgave them. Now, to witness such an attitude in our generation would certainly prove incredible, don't you think so, if not downright laughable? Forgiving people who work against you instead of getting back at them? Who would ever think of something like this? But is not this also what we need today? Instead of anger, we need genuine Christian love. And instead of grudges, we need complete and total forgiveness. So much animosity exists in our society, and so much tension swirls around our daily activities, that gunfights have broken out even on our nation's busiest highways. This is something no one would have even dreamed about 10 years ago. Indeed, it was certainly discouraging to read last summer about the Los Angeles police who investigated scores of complaints from innocent drivers who had been fired upon by disgruntled motorists. Isn't this all very disgusting to you? But did you know also that there is just as much or even more violence in the home? Time magazine recently stated that in our entire society, there is no place as violent as the home. And did you know this? Now listen to this. Did you know that the death toll from domestic violence every 5 years is equal to that of the American death toll during the entire Vietnam War? This terrible trend must be turned back. And so, this is also why we need to re-examine the secret of the forgiving and Christ-centered activities of the early missionaries, those who moved forward positively, even when others taunted them and baited them. Indeed, it is our society which so desperately needs the Word-sanctified and gospel-empowered lives like those of the early disciples. This is our only hope. Articles in major magazines indicate that psychologists have done their best to improve society, but often find their greatest efforts to be in vain. The dilemma of man's basic evil intention is so pervasive that sociologists, at best, can only study the situation. We need the life-transforming strength, yes, the love and the forgiving power of the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and the power of His cross is the only answer for our society. He is the only hope for our families and our homes. Wouldn't you agree that this is our greatest need at this hour? Or perhaps you have no problems. Maybe your family is getting along as well as it should. Or could it be that your home is one of those many households where members of the family come to sleep? But during the remaining hours of the day, your home is for them a place they would just as soon avoid. Is your home a place where children would sooner run away from than run to? Oh yes, forgiveness between friends and even family members does not come easy. It is not easy to forgive those who hate you. In fact, it is impossible from a human point of view to forgive those who are always trying to do you in. But God in Jesus Christ is offering you a new start at this hour, a totally practical and workable approach for your life. Anger and hatred need no more predominate your thinking. The forgiveness and the patience of God can turn your life around. Because you see, when you hold grudges and remain unforgiving, then the devil is in control of everything that you do. Satan's strangling power is more than any mortal man can ever throw off. This then is why Christ's victory on the cross is so crucial to your life and also to mine. In the Bible, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, we read that through His victory over the devil on the cross, Jesus disarmed the rulers and the authorities. Of course, even as Christians, the devil may continue to tempt us and to bother us. However, when you and I live a new life in Jesus Christ and remain strong in His living Word, then the prince of darkness has no more authority over us. Indeed, hating and being unforgiving is not a thing of God. God is a God of love. He is a God of grace and of perfect forgiveness. Hate and grudges are from the devil. In Christ, you today can overcome these negative feelings that you may now possess. And according to the Bible, it is impossible for the devil to succeed when God's power reigns within you. The liberating power of God rules your life when the devil-defeating Easter resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes part of your existence. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul explains how this spiritual strength and devil-defeating power can become yours through God's gift of holy baptism. Listen to the inspired words of St. Paul. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with Jesus Christ through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we too might walk in the newness of life. For St. Paul says, if we have been united with Jesus Christ in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And we know that our old sinful self was crucified with Jesus Christ, that our body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, sin such as grudges and unforgiving hearts. Therefore, St. Paul continues by saying, do not let sin such as anger and hatred have daily control in your mortal body, so that you should obey its lusts. But St. Paul finally says, present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Oh, my friend, when you respond to this invitation of St. Paul to be baptized and to be grafted into Christ and his word, and then when his power lives within you, then your life shall be transformed like those of the Savior's disciples, and the sins of old hatred and grudges shall no longer control your life. You shall then also live a life of victory over all other sin, just as the disciples mentioned in our text for today did. And then, my friends, there is something else just as exciting as spiritual power over hate and grudges that the Bible speaks to us about. Since the early Christians had received through baptism the sin-defeating power of the Savior's resurrection living within them, then the early disciples not only had the spiritual power to overcome temptation of anger and grudges, but these disciples were now also enabled by God to go to other members of their congregations and to encourage them in the faith also. We read in our text for today, and the next day, after he had been stoned, St. Paul went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Oh, let's not pass quickly over the word of God we just read, that St. Paul reminds all of us that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. St. Paul was not a charlatan espousing some of today's success theology. He did not, like some do today, promise that if you become a Christian, life will become a bowl of cherries. Even in his own Christian life, St. Paul confessed his daily struggle against the power of the flesh, which always wanted to get him to return to his previous sinful, self-centered habits. St. Paul openly confessed these daily temptations, and he always remained true to the Word of God. St. Paul was honest with all those he invited to follow Jesus Christ. He said it simply this way. He said, being a follower of the Blessed Redeemer is never easy. Following Jesus Christ frequently means suffering for the Master. St. Paul was not promoting a new theology. He was only reminding all aspiring adherents of the new faith of the previously stated words of his Master Jesus. We read these words in the 9th chapter of Luke. And Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yes, indeed. St. Paul had understood these words of the Savior. He understood the Christian faith for what it really was and still is today. Becoming a Christian is not something accomplished by our own power or even by our will. It is the living Word which transforms sinners into trusting children of the loving Lord. And to lead a God-pleasing life is also accomplished only through the power of God and His living Word. To stand up for Jesus takes God-given courage. To imitate Jesus by speaking for the oppressed and the downtrodden and for the millions now being murdered through abortion often means harassment and even threats. No wonder, then, that the greatest of all missionaries, St. Paul, empowered by the guarantee of the resurrection, often at great peril to his own life, travel to nearby churches, advising them, yes, encouraging them, to remain steadfast in the living Word and to persevere in the faith in Jesus Christ unto the end. All of the energies expended by St. Paul were not done in order to receive credit or to receive some type of an award. He did it out of love for his Savior. And knowing this, we can then better understand St. Paul's beautiful introduction in his letter to the faltering church in Corinth. St. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Indeed, all our comfort and all our strength comes through Jesus Christ alone. Only when He lives within us do we have the power to overcome sin, temptation, and the devil. And so from this hour on, struggle no more in frustration, and strive no longer to rid yourself by your own power of those sins which trip you up and which force you to live a life filled with grudges and unhappiness. This is your hour to lay all your sins and your mistakes and your past hatred and your past grudges at the foot of the crucifixion cross. In sincere repentance, pray to God for His help, and from this day forward, live every day not for yourself, but for Him who died for you and rose again. As you begin this new life, you shall certainly then be enabled by God to confess with St. Paul, 'I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me.' The Christian faith, my friend, is neither an empty philosophy nor a useless theory. This is clearly shown by the example of the baptized, spirit-empowered, and joy-filled disciples of the early church. As a result of the faith which God planted in their hearts, they stand even today as immovable granite towers. Yea, these committed disciples are indelible examples of what happens to sinners when the resurrection of Jesus Christ transforms them. Weakness changes to strengths, grudges and hates are transformed into love and patience, and hopelessness, even under opposition, is changed into confidence and courage. Follow the example of St. Paul and members of the early church. Be baptized, and in this way you will be united eternally to Christ. He and His life-giving resurrection power will then live within you. And when this happens, you, like the disciples of the early church, you shall remain happy, encouraged, positive, strengthened, forgiving, and hope-filled, even if the whole world shall turn against you. Oh, may God grant this resurrection power to you in Jesus Christ. Amen.